Hey guys, today we're here to tell you about one of my favorite companies called Crush Tonic. So Crush Tonic was started by my friend Sally, who is an amazing, intelligent person. She's actually been on the podcast before. So after this episode, whichever one you're listening to, go back and check hers out. But she has this crazy story where basically she severely burnt herself cooking. And she was looking for all these different ways to speed up her healing process and eventually discovered collagen. So through that, it helped heal the scarring, but then she was also finding that her hair, her nails, and her skin were looking better than ever. So that's when she officially decided she wanted to share this secret with the world, and that's when she created her company, Crush Tonic. For those of you who don't know, at around 25, your body starts to lose its natural ability to produce collagen. So this impacts your skin, your hair, your nails, your bones, muscles, everything, and leads to issues like wrinkles, dark circles, thinning hair, and more. But all these effects can be avoided and even reversed by collagen. And she has these amazing packets that you can put into any drink. She has flavors so that you can add it to your coffee. That's the coffee flavor. She has matcha. And then she also has the original and unflavored packets if you just want to add it to whatever drink you have without it impacting the flavor at all. So it's awesome. And honestly, the company has taken off so much. They've partnered with and sold their products in stores like Sephora, Gilt, Kith, Erewhon, Equinox, JetBlue, and more. And soon they're even going to be available through QVC and Costco. So I highly recommend you guys check it out. They also, oh my God, they have these new anti-hair loss supplements that are in pill form and work wonders. They're made with ingestible keratin, which especially paired with the daily use of collagen means no more 8-hour trips to the salon to get keratin treatment. Your hair is gonna look better than ever. So guys, go check it out. I promise you won't regret it. I'll put the link in the episode description, but basically you can just go over to crushtonic.com and use code WTFSUP, WTFSUP, for 20% off your first order and 50% off soon to be gone matcha and original crushes. All right, back to the episode.
Should we just do it?
Let's do it.
Let's
get into it.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to What the Fuck's Up podcast. I'm your host, Caitlin Kelly.
And I'm your other host, Nina Barnett.
And today we are joined by actress, singer, and songwriter Katherine Gallagher. Her credits include playing Bella Fox in the Broadway show Jagged Little Pill, Annika in Netflix's You, Heidi Bergman in the upcoming season of Gossip Girl reboot. Can I speak? In the upcoming season of the Gossip Girl reboot, and many more. Katherine, how are you? Thank you for coming on today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm good. Yeah. How are you guys doing?
We're good.
I'm like...
Nina's alive.
You had some flight troubles. I mean... Luckily, Delta gave me a $15 meal voucher.
That's so
they
nice.
I was so like,
that must have gotten you a cup of water at least.
I mean, it did actually expire before I got back to the airport.
No,
but
off.
I liked it for show.
You
I
know
liked
what?
It for show.
It expires.
I will say though,
$15 expires.
As it's a Delta stan, counts. I'm like, you know what? It's fine. I do love you guys. Yeah. Like, I'm sure they're gonna do something later that's actually a little bit better.
I hope so.
But yeah, I went to the airport 3 different times yesterday. Drove and 2 hours.
And you still have a will to live, and that is beautiful.
Yeah, yep, because I am running on caffeine, which if you know me, knows that's concerning because I don't drink caffeine.
Yeah,
so
that's when you know it's bad.
But it's really good to be here in my own home.
Well, I'm so happy to have you here in your own home.
This is actually just us doing therapy.
Yeah, this is.
I love
you
that.
Have no idea, but welcome.
You know what? I'm a fan of therapy, and I'm happy to be here with you guys.
I love it. Okay, so guys, for some background, well, first of all, Katherine was in Jagged Little Pill, which I saw when you guys like first went on, and it was amazing.
Thank you.
So good. I actually went the night that Wolfgang went. Do you remember that?
Of course. Yeah, I love Wolfgang. He's the best.
Yeah, I know him through just that whole family I know, which they're so great. Awesome. I'm like, I don't know if I want to like name them on it, like out them.
No, but, Wolfgang is the loveliest.
He's great. And I thought you were so amazing in it. For people who don't know, it's Alanis Morissette's music, which is like iconic. I'm sure you guys both get this when you see shows and you're like, I wish I'd auditioned for this. Oh, yeah. I got such audition envy. I was like, because I love Alanis Morissette.
Yeah,
like,
she's, who doesn't? Her music. It's hard to not.
Big time.
First quick question. Yes. Did you meet her?
Yes. Yeah, we did. The first time we met her, it was, we knew she was coming at some point during the day, and we were out in the hallway rehearsing a scene, me and two other actors, and my back was to the stairwell, and I just see the two other actors, their faces just drop. And I was like, is it happening? They were like, it's happening. And I turn around and we were like, and she was like, it's so nice to meet you. And we were like, we love you. And she was like, I love you. I've been watching you. And I was like, I've been watching you. And
then I was just like, you're like, no, I've been watching you for a long time.
She's just the loveliest. She really is. She's everything you could have hoped for and more. So it was awesome.
That makes me happy.
But otherwise,
I don't know how she couldn't be. Like, music is just so raw and real and good.
Exactly. Yeah.
How old was she when she wrote Jagged Little Pill?
I believe 19. Yeah.
Don't you love hearing that? So, I'm like, ladies here and gentlemen, I am at 28.
I know. She was 19.
What have I done?
Old.
I've started a podcast.
Yeah. Hey, that's something.
Yeah,
something.
Age is but a number.
Right? That's what we like to say on this podcast too. Yeah. A lot of that.
I love that.
A lot of me saying that and then like bemoaning the fact that I'm 28 at the same time.
We don't have an expiration date. I know the world would like to make us believe that, especially women, have an expiration date of like 31.
Especially
but
female
we don't.
Actresses.
Yes.
So fun.
Exactly.
Like, you can just keep peeking.
Yeah,
you really can. Peaking.
Come on, guys.
Find multiple peaks. Be a mountain range.
Wow.
I was talking to a friend of mine. It was really good. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday who just started this company, Beginning Is Now, I believe is what it's called. I don't want to mess it up. But she said, she was like, you know, the world would like to make you believe that you sort of expire at 40. And she was like, so she started this whole company with that in mind, that, you know, you're just beginning now. And I was thinking how often we, you know, I especially feel like I'm too old to do anything, and this is like happening, and I've missed it, and da-da-da, and you're just getting these deep, dark spirals. And, you know, I was excited to see someone who, you know, I've looked up to forever. It's Brooke Shields' company. And so to see her, you know, who I've looked up to forever, being like always trying to start again and like, it just was such an inspirational thought. So we can always begin. It's never too late to begin.
Yes, you're already so on theme of the podcast.
Yay.
I'm loving my list. Yeah,
loving this start.
So glad.
Yeah, we can always figure out what the fuck we're doing in life. At all times. But yeah, that's so true, and I love that. And then you also think about, from just like, I don't know, like a scientific point of view, it's like our life expectancies are so much longer.
Yeah.
So why are we still holding ourselves to these like really like, I don't know, kind of outdated, old school, outdated timelines?
Absolutely.
Okay, wait. I also, you know, going back to Jagged Little Pill, what was it like being cast? Like, what was the audition process like? What was the experience like in general?
I know.
All the things.
Man, it was crazy. It was actually sort of part of this whirlwind month. It was like August 2017, I believe. And I had seen something online about the show in months before, and they were doing a reading, and I wrote to my team and I was like, I will do anything, just get me in the room. And they had someone else in the show, and they were like, hey, there's really not a role for you, I'm sorry. And I was like, okay, like, it's all good and it's fine. And and a few months later, I was just about to move to LA to do music, because I was kind of like, acting's not happening, fuck this, whatever.
Yeah.
And I, am I allowed to curse?
Yes.
It's called what the fuck. No, you are not the first, and you're not the last person to ask.
Beautiful. And so I, God.
So funny, I love it.
So I was about to move to LA and kind of like stop acting, essentially, because nothing was happening. Yeah. I had auditioned for, you know, a solid like year and a half with absolutely zero bites, and I was like, it's fine, like, I have this great opportunity in music, whatever. And I had one last audition that my team was like, hey, this got some really good people attached. Just, we'd love you for you to go in. And I was like, whatever, this will be like, if I don't book this, I'm done.
Yeah.
And that was an audition for a show called You.
Oh my God. Don't we love it? You were great on it, by the way.
Thank you so much. I had never been on camera before. I'd never done anything like it. And I really, I didn't look at the script. Like, I didn't prepare. I was just like, fuck this. I never get jobs anyway. This is so stupid.
Those are always the ones you get. Yeah. The ones you are like, I really don't care about it. And go in. I swear to God. And then you're like, how did I?
Well, that was a thing. I remember waking up and I was like, whatever, I'll read the script. And I was like, oh no. It's so good. And I felt like an idiot. It wasn't. It was Lifetime.
It was Lifetime.
So Lifetime was doing this big rebrand. And so I immediately was like, this script is amazing. I feel like an idiot for not having prepped it, whatever. Like, I just started cramming it. I sat down and I loved the sides and I learned it as best I could. And I went in and I just did the best I could. Didn't hear anything for 3 weeks. Flew to L.A., packed all my shit.
Wow.
And was on a flight back. My mom and I went on a little trip together and was on a flight back, turned my phone on, and I had like 27 missed calls from my team that were like, can you get back to New York on Tuesday, which was, it was Sunday.
Oh my God.
And I was like, okay. And they were like, you have a table read, you booked the show. And I was like,
I would have legitimately passed.
It was crazy. It was truly just one of those things where you were like, this doesn't happen. And wild. And then that got me in LA or in back in the city. So when a general ensemble call happened for Jagged Little Pill a week and a half later, I was available for it, which I wouldn't have been had I been in LA. And so I went in for this general ensemble call. I didn't know there was a character Bella because it didn't exist in the previous reading. The plot was totally different. And so I went in and I read for like the school girls and the coffee shop moms and all the different things, and I got a call back for a featured ensemble role named Bella. And there was sort of there's one scene that where we're sitting on the couch, and we always called it the couch scene, but I'm realizing like no one knows that. And so
we're like, obviously it was the couch scene.
Yeah, there's like the couch is such an integral part of that show. I'm like, it really every is. Couch is every scene is a couch scene.
Yep.
But we call that like the Bella couch, and so the Bella couch scene, it was pretty much that audition. And then I went back in for the dance call and the final callback. So it was like three rounds in total. The dance call killed me, and I called my team after and I was like, I unfortunately did not book this based on what I just did in that room.
Me, every audition at Northwestern, like, especially because now I'll do like TV film stuff.
Right,
but
I haven't
really done like, since I was living in LA, moved back, I've done mostly like TV film stuff. But every time I would audition for a musical at Northwestern, the dance call would come and I'd be like, well, I'm fucked.
Unfortunately, I did not book. No,
that's literally me. Because I would also go in the dance call, and the occasional time where I was like, I crushed it. They would be like, your dancing is not there. And it was like, and I was like, I felt so good. Well,
that's how I feel too, because it's like, I'm not uncoordinated. Like, I can dance. Like,
I can hold my own.
I
just need about a month with the choreography.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. I need time to, like, I'm not going to pick it up on the third time we do it. No. It's just not going to happen.
No.
It's not going to be like, one, two, three, but it's not changed. Like, no.
Absolutely not. That's not happening
like,
for me either.
A week to 4 to 7.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. We're doing great.
We're crushing
it. But yeah, that was sort of the journey with the show. And then the role was originally featured ensemble. So I was in every ensemble number and I would wear a hat. And then when I would do my Bella scenes, I would take it off. And when we went to ART, we sort of started seeing a need for the role to grow to support the story. And we added me into Uninvited during previews at ART, I believe. And we added I think in the first workshop, we added it like at the end of the first week or something like that.
That's and so awesome. That was just like growing.
It just kept growing. It was really cool because it was really, the response from the audience was a lot of it at ART. Yeah. Was the audience really responding to Bella, and we really saw a need to tell this story and a responsibility to tell it fully. And so by the time we did another workshop in December, the script went through another group of changes. And by the time we were on Broadway, there was like another scene, and which really, really sort of saw the totality of the character. And so it really was like, the audition process was one thing, but then even more than that, it was like the growth of the role, you know, going from featured ensemble to at the last week at ART, I think Equity came and they were like, this is a principal role. But by that point, I had already been doing like all of the ensemble tracks. And I was like dying. It was like, I could not do that again. But yeah, it was like a real, I'm really glad that I think I got to do the, you know, ensemble track as well as Bella, because it was boot camp. Like, it was really, it was the hardest thing I've ever done. But yes, I couldn't have sustained that any further. So I was very glad.
Well, we were talking about this in our last episode with Keenan, but he was just, you know, we were talking about how impressive Broadway is in a way that people don't fully appreciate, and that it's just, it takes a toll. Like, it's a ton of work. It's a ton on your vocal cords. It's energetically exhausting because you're on. So I give you major props for doing both for so long. I didn't even realize that. Yeah.
It was
like, ensemble stuff can be
really a lot. Oh, and this show was like, man, I was like, I think my craziest moment in the show was I went from Unprodigal Daughter, which is a huge full out dance number, wearing a hat, took it off into a quick change right into Predator, quick change into the ensemble of You Oughta Know, quick change right into Uninvited. And I was like, my mental health is depleting. Because it was just like the extremes of emotion. It's also such a
heavy show. Yeah.
It's hard to do Predator and then a headbang in You Oughta Know and just be like, you guys are cheering and you didn't even care. Like, this just happened to me. Like, I fully had a panic attack at the end of You Oughta Know one night. And I was like, I can't do this anymore. Oh, it was bad. It was really rough.
Blame you. Oh, my gosh.
But look, I survived, and we all survive.
Yeah, you survived and thrived.
As Glennon Doyle says, we can do hard things. And that was a hard thing.
So how long were you on it for?
I worked on it for a total of 5 years.
What?
Or 4.5, I guess, yeah.
It was that long?
Yeah.
Is it normal to be on a production that long?
Well, shows take a really long time to develop. So generally when you're originating a role, like,
yeah, when you're in the original.
Yeah. Onset. So this is weirdly like, now that I've officially wrapped season two of Gossip Girl.
I
don't think
I realized that. And I feel kind of lame because I like grew up with Broadway.
No, I mean, it's because you never know. You'll do a reading and you never know. Yeah. I've done so many readings of so many different shows that have gone nowhere. And so you never know which ones are going to take. And so you don't really know when the journey is really beginning. And I think, for this, it's interesting because, so I just wrapped season two of Gossip Girl yesterday, which I knew was coming. Thank you.
It's
a very fun show. But I sort of knew that was coming. So I think when Jagged ended, I wasn't like totally unemployed yet. And now, now that I've like wrapped that, I'm kind of like, oh my God, this is the first time in 5 years I haven't known what's next.
Wow.
And it's
For people listening, as an actor, that is like goals. Yeah, like that's fucking incredible. Yeah, like
that's definitely a long period of time to.
Yeah, and when you're working on a show, like, I mean, also the pandemic had a lot to do with that. Totally. And, you know, there's like definitely been contributing factors, but it's definitely been like oh my God, who am I without Jagged? Like, it's what is this? It's, you know, been such a huge part of, you know, I booked it when I was 23, or I just turned 24.
Yeah.
29 now. It's like,
that's so, wow.
That's big.
That's I did not realize that. And when did it end up coming back, like post pandemic?
Or whatever. We started rehearsals September 27th.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Got it. Oh my gosh. That is. Yeah. Wow. What a journey.
What a journey. Yeah. Truly.
What a journey.
Truly.
But now I do want to kind of get into, since we've like kind of covered the Broadway thing, although I didn't say that we have to give credit where credit is due. The show won a Grammy.
Yes.
And she also got a Tony nomination for Best Featured Actress in a Musical, which is
insane.
Are you so proud of yourself?
Yeah, that was, I didn't think that was going to happen.
Yeah, like what was that reaction? Fucking... Like, I think I'd pass away. Yeah,
I was in therapy.
Good.
So I really didn't think it was going to happen. To be very clear, I did not plan therapy during the time of the Tony Award announcements because I like needed it. I that was my normal time. It was Thursdays at noon, and that was and I was like, I'm not gonna cancel just in case. Like, that's horrific idea. And so I just kept my time, and I spent the morning watching Miss Americana, because I love Taylor Swift so much. So I was like, you know what? She has that whole moment where she's, you know, hearing the Grammy nominations coming in. And I was like, she survived it. So good.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's the most devastating scene.
I know. I was just really preparing. You know, the role started as a featured ensemble role. And I knew that there were there's always expectations. There's always lists. And I knew that I wasn't on most of them. I knew that, you know, I knew all the, like, you have to get this many votes and you have to get this many things. And so I was kind of like, this is just not going to happen. Like, it's okay. Like, I did everything I could, and I've had such a journey, and I've learned so much, and da da da.
It's already grown so much.
Yeah. I was just kind of like, you know, in therapy talking at the beginning of my session, I was kind of like, hey, so this thing is happening today. I might get a call. Just
this
like
casual thing.
Yeah. I was like, you know, my manager's probably going to call me just to let me know. So I'm just gonna have to take that just to, you know, but it's fine. And, just so you know that whatever. And I was like, totally. And then, you know, 12:30 rolls around, and my manager calls, and I'm like, fuck, okay. Well, I'm about to be bummed today. And
good thing I'm in therapy.
Literally. And so I was like, hey, this is my manager. I'm just going to call you right back. And my manager's on the other line. Anthony was just like the greatest person on earth. And he was just screaming. And I was like, did it go well?
He's like, no, I'm just screaming.
Oh my God.
It was pretty crazy.
I'm manifesting it. For all of us, again.
Yes.
Us for the first time.
No, it was really crazy. And I think that, you know, especially for that role, and it's a role that truly is about someone who's not seen and not heard and not believed. So I think just to get that sort of, you know, recognition, and that it sort of carried such a weight for me, and it was such an honor. It was really, really special.
That's fucking incredible.
I was very, very happy about it.
Yeah. The show, well, everyone, it's still up, right?
Yeah. It's not.
It's not?
We actually closed.
It's going to be like everyone go see it.
The great Omicron. We had a few COVID cases, and we did not survive them. We found out, we canceled a few performances, and we found out in the middle of those canceled performances that we wouldn't be returning to the theater.
Oh, that's
so that was really devastating. That sucked. That one took some time to get over.
That was a longer therapy session.
Because we already did that. Yeah. We did that once in 2020. Yeah. And so to do it again with no closure, I was kind of like, fuck. It's like the hardest breakup I've ever been through, you know? And I've been through some fucking breakups, but that one took the cake. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Oh my God. Well, I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry you guys can't see it, because it truly was like an awesome show.
They are going on tour though, and I've just connected with the girls playing Bella on tour, and she's lovely, and I'm sending her some self-care tips, because that role takes a bit of a toll.
That's why I was going to say, for people who haven't seen
trigger warning,
there's a lot of sexual assault and kind of dealing with the aftermath of that. Those are big themes in the show, since, you know, those are what some of the songs are about Alanis wrote. So it's definitely a heavy show at some points, but amazing really music and amazingly well done. So that's awesome. They'll be on tour. So
very exciting.
Some other places can see it.
In a city near you.
This is an ad. We are not being paid for it. But now I want to get into your TV, like, acting career a little bit, since you did mention that you were in You. So obviously, you know, we and the listeners and we are going to want to hear about that.
Of course.
How was that experience? Like, what was it like? When also did it go from being Lifetime to Netflix?
So it's so funny, because this is truly a lesson of... Mike Nichols has this saying that Mike Nichols is an amazing director, and he has this saying that, you know, my dad once asked him, you know, I have kids, what do I do? Is there anything I should know? What should they know? They're teenagers, send help. And Mike said, as long as they know that what starts out poorly doesn't always end that way, and what starts out well doesn't always end that way, they're gonna be okay. And
I love that.
Really good. And if you haven't read the Mike Nichols book by Mark Harris, it's absolutely essential. to any creative person, any person with a beating heart, read it immediately. But so anyway, so You is a really good example of that, where we were a Lifetime show, a totally Lifetime original, and we premiered on Lifetime in September of 2018, and I remember it well because it was on every billboard in New York and LA, and I posted about it every week, and like no one watched it, and mostly because I think it's the reality of, you know, no, not many people have Lifetime, and I think the audience that you ended up finding was not the audience that even had the money to pay for, you know, cable. And so basically what happened was we had this brilliant show that no one saw, and that
I had no idea.
Yeah, we were fully like a new episode aired every, like, I don't remember, it was Tuesday or Thursday or something on Lifetime.
Wait, is it a totally different show?
Absolutely the same show. The exact same show.
The same show?
The same show.
Like, was, same cast,
I
everything.
I was today years old. Yeah,
we
when
did.
I found
we did
out.
Nothing. Different. Nothing changed.
Oh my God, that's wild.
And then I got a call sometime in December. Basically, I think we were always going to be an international Netflix show, because what Netflix will do a lot of times is be, you know, something will be a Netflix original overseas, and there'll be a it'll be a co-production. And so I think I don't know if what the business side of things were. All I know is that I get a call one day that was like, hey, here are your new social things, you know, for Netflix. It's coming out as a Netflix original in a few days. And I was like,
were you like
sick?
What?
I mean, it was funny because we were all kind of like, we were all so proud of the show we did, but we were used to the fact that it no one saw it, you know. And it was like, I had one friend that watched it, shout out to Stephanie Stiles.
And so I always got that one loyal friend.
There's literally always that friend.
She is Maddie, a tried and true. There we go. And and then within a week, I think it was like 40 million people had seen it. And I was like getting chased through an airport and paparazzi. And I was like, well, this is different than the first time we premiered. It was like, wait, definitely a very different experience.
Oh my
but,
God, insane.
But yeah, it was really a lesson of like, you know, the show will find its audience. And sometimes it just, its success also has nothing to do with the quality.
Yeah. So true. It, also for acting and like any aspiring actors listening, I'm also repeating this for me and Nina, but you know, I do think success with, I don't know, this industry in general can be, obviously there's so many talented people who are successful, but it can be so random. So
100%.
You can be amazing and never get seen, or a show can be amazing and no one's heard of it. Like, it's
you
just
never
crazy.
Know what success is going to look like for you.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, I think a big lesson from that too is like putting your value and your purpose, not necessarily in like how the show does, but like how you feel about whatever you're doing. Like, do you love
the
what
journey.
You're doing? Like that kind of thing.
Yeah. And I think it was really cool that we all sort of got to be very proud of what we did and the show that we created without any of the flares. And then it was like 4 months later, it was like, we were right. It was good.
We knew it.
That never happens. You never get that sort of validation. And and moreover, we had such a great time because, you know, Elizabeth Lail is still one of my best friends. And I love Penn, and Shay, I'm like, is just one of the coolest, most inspirational people. And so it's just really cool.
It's a lit cast.
Yeah.
It's a pretty stacked cast.
We had a really, really good time.
So fun.
Yeah, so
this is such a like lame fanboy question, but love here it. I am doing it. Were there any like funny moments on set, or like things that you can remember where you were like,
so
this
many
would be a good story?
So many.
I love this shit.
One of my first days on set, I remember walking by Penn's trailer and his door was open, and we like sort of waved at each other, and he was like, come in, and I was like, okay.
Did you know him well at this point?
No, we all had a dinner at the beginning, and got you know it, the cast got to know each other. So we definitely like, you know, he was lovely and whatever. We didn't really know each other, and I came in and we got in like an hour discussion about religion and philosophy, and I was like,
okay,
my
that
dude.
Feels like he is consistent. Like, I feel like I could have guessed that from his character.
He's just really, he's really smart. He's
he
really kind.
Reading.
Oh, I will say, actually, one of the first days on set, also, I brought my buddy who's a psychic, Dakota, who owns Catland in Brooklyn, To set.
I would like, they, guys, I do like a psychic moment.
They gave all of us like readings in my trailer. And so that was also like immediately so we had fun together.
That's so fun.
And then we would also, Shay famously doesn't often see musicals. Now, Elizabeth and I are huge fans, obviously, of musical theater.
Adds up.
And so we would play this game where Shay, knowing nothing about theater, songs, anything, I would say, hey, Shay, what's your favorite song from Dear Evan Hansen again? And she would fully improvise a song about Dear Evan Hansen that fully improvised.
Oh my God.
So I love it was pretty that. Iconic. Yeah, we did like Dear Evan Hansen and Waitress and Hamilton. Sometimes she was like jarringly on point.
Oh my God. Is she a good singer?
Fantastic. And an even better dancer.
And she saw Jagged Little Pill, I assume.
She didn't. You know, it's a bummer because a lot of people didn't get the chance because we closed so quickly because of the pandemic and we opened so quickly. Yep. And so basically a lot of people, you know, even some of my best friends didn't even get a chance to see it. It really blows. But
that's such a downer.
But, you know, they've heard me talk about it so much that it's okay. Elizabeth did, though. Elizabeth was at our opening night, and I think Elizabeth came to see it like 3 or 4 times. She's a super fan. So
she seems very sweet.
She's the bestie.
I'm about to do the lamest thing ever. Great. Did you foresee this coming?
She's not foreseeing
it, but I've had like several people and one person on this show say that I look like her. Do you see it?
I do see it.
Okay, now it's validated.
I do see it.
It's funny because I never saw it when I was watching it. I was very much like, oh, this is such a fun role. I'd like, love to do that role. But then people, like when it was on, people kept coming up to me being like, I see it.
It's
a good comparison. I'll take it and run.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And she's just one of the coolest people that you've ever met.
So she's very talented.
10 out of 10. 10 out of 10.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like they're all great, honestly.
Yeah, huge win.
Yeah,
that's the only thing about you that's a bummer is like I personally, no shade to the other seasons, but like I got really attached to season one and cast, like truly, not just saying this because you're here and we're in season one, and it's like you want some of the characters to come back a little more, like not just
everyone dies. Not me though.
I know. Yeah.
Maybe
you'll come back. Maybe you'll have your moment. He'll move back to New York just for shits and gigs.
I hope so.
Yeah, right.
I mean, someday.
Someday.
Get revenge on Joe.
Yeah.
Killing my bestie.
That'd be kind of lit.
I know, right?
Killing my bestie.
Not now.
So funny.
Not now.
Not now. But also, so you mentioned your dad. This is circling back a bit, but I'm sorry. We got to bring up your dad.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Great guy.
Great
guy.
Big
fan from...
You're like, I'm his number one fan.
I am. Yeah. No, I wouldn't be here without him. So truly.
You're like, also, I owe him. True. I owe him a little bit.
Yeah. He had a lot to do with me being here today.
Yeah. We love that.
Yeah. Big fan.
Huge fan. But her dad is Peter Gallagher, who is famously Sandy Cohen in The OC, which... I feel like you'd appreciate this because, you know, a lover of music and stuff. I am obsessed with the OC soundtrack. It's
big
so
time.
Good.
Big time.
It's like really good. Did they ever win awards for like the
I think they must have. They you must know, have, Josh Schwartz, who created the OC, is such a brilliant like music head. Like I know he's a huge fan of music and had so much to do with that show having really cool bands. And the Bait Shop and, you know, they had all they created. Not created, but they kind of did like bring this indie music scene really to the forefront of popular culture, and a lot of that had to do with the Bait Shop and everything. And so I listened to those. Did they call them mixtapes? What did they call them?
Yeah,
right?
it was like OC mixtape. Yeah.
Those were so good. I first heard a Death Cab from the OC.
B88
and like
so. Oh my God! So
I know
it's so good. I think they also like. I'm not totally sure of the timeline because I didn't watch like right when it came out. Right. I watched maybe like 3 years later.
Totally.
I want to say because we were pretty young when it like.
But
I think it also brought up a lot of bands because they'd have like it so that the characters were going to see a live
totally,
show.
Totally. Yeah.
Which is so cool.
Introduce them that way. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, your dad is fucking awesome. I think we've established if anyone's seen him in anything. He's also been in a ton of other
things. He's in everything.
Yeah. He's
it's at the point where every time I have a favorite show, he gets cast in it, and you're like, and it changes things for me. I'm like, ugh. He had me run lines with him for Grey's Anatomy the other day. And first I was like, are there any spoilers? And he was like, I think it's okay. And I was like, double check.
No, oh my gosh, that's such a real thing. So funny. Wow.
I know. Yeah, I never thought of that.
I gotta say, I'm really glad that my dad's never spoiled one of my favorite TV shows.
Yeah, when I was younger, I was like,
Dad, why don't you have any connections in the industry like the brat I am? And now I'm like, Dad, thank God you're could have ruined finance.
Yeah.
You ruined nothing for me. I still don't really know what you do. No, it's just perfect. Kidding. I totally know finance.
Yeah, it's so important to know finance.
What was it like kind of growing up, you know, on sets and things?
Yeah. You know, I think the biggest thing for me was that I got a real respect for the work of it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of times it's very easy to glamorize it, mm-hmm. and be like, wow, these people get to go and get their hair and makeup done, and then they show up and say words, and then they walk down shiny carpets and they look so beautiful. And I think that I got to see, you know, the reality of like 18-hour days and how it's like, it's a job, and it's there's highs and there's lows. And I think also, you know, I grew up in the theater. Like I was backstage with my dad on Broadway a lot. And I think when you are surrounded by a love for the theater, especially and in that environment, you really get a respect for the totality of every single person in the building being as significant as the people who are in the pictures on the outside of the building. Mm. And I think that it's a lesson you learn very quickly in theater, that the show does not go on without every single person in the building.
Yeah, it's like a real team effort.
Exactly. Yes. And you see, you know, every single day you're seeing the same faces, you become such a family. And I think that growing up in that environment with such a respect for the sort of like time-honored tradition of mm-hmm. of Broadway and theater and the grit and the true dedication it takes, because anyone who's done Broadway will tell you like it's not very glamorous.
It's so undervalued in so many ways.
I just think it's people don't know. And I think it's, you know, you think, I remember telling someone who worked in television for the first time, they were like, who does your hair and makeup? And I was like, this bitch.
You're like, she's right in front of me.
Yeah.
Like,
you know, it's just, it's, I think growing up and having my dad really teach me like, hey, when you get to work and you take off your costume, you hang it up. Mm. You learn everyone's name in the building. You are not more important than anyone else because, you know, people are asking for your picture outside. You have to, you know, show a real respect for what you're doing. And also the biggest thing is like how lucky you are to be there. Yeah. And I think that so often you can be tired and overwhelmed, and just every single time I get to go to work, I'm so grateful that I even have work to go to. As you guys know, as an actor, it's like, I mean, in the past 4-5 months, I've probably sent in 100 audition tapes. Mm-hmm. How much feedback do we get for audition days? You know, like,
oh my God,
usually
don't you
just
love-
you send it into the abyss. You never hear anything, generally.
Nothing.
Unless the file is like corrupt.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, wow, we couldn't
you're
watch
like,
it
I got
at
an
all.
Email.
And it
like,
makes
we
you want
it.
To die.
Or they're like, we actually changed up the script entirely and want you to do a whole new audition from
again?
This angle and wearing this and with this kind of tonality behind it.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, I mean, we
and
were
that's
saying,
like a good day.
It's tough too, because I, you know, for people who haven't done it, auditioning is just a whole other beast.
It's such another beast, and so it really gives you perspective for like
it
when
does.
You get the job
it's
and
like,
you're in the car going
the
to work. Oh my God! Like you're the luckiest person in the world if you've made it on set. You are
totally.
The luckiest person, and so then to think that you have any choice but to be like grateful and hardworking and showing up prepared and on time. And it's like, I'm so grateful that I had someone to teach me how rare it is. You know, my first TV job, I was really lucky. It was a hit. Since then, you know, I haven't nailed it every time. You know, we never do. I've had years of unemployment. I've like, and so I think to have someone there to be like, hey, you got lucky. It's gonna stay hard. You're never gonna get to a point where you feel like, now I can relax.
Yeah. Totally.
It's always a roller coaster. You're always up and you're down. And the most important thing is maintaining your sense of self throughout the ups and downs, you know?
So true.
So I feel really lucky to have had him. I feel a little bit less crazy with everything, you know?
Yeah. Well,
have someone to talk to.
Yeah, it's so nice to have him to like bounce that all off of. Like, yeah. I know for both of us, our parents are just kind of like, we don't know what to tell you, but like, best of luck. We still support you. I mean, they're amazing and supportive in that way. But also it's just like, I don't know. It always on this couch makes me so like, it's so wonderful to hear from someone who really like respects and loves what they do.
Oh my God.
You can just like hear it and feel it being here with you. And so that's like so wonderful. And then also, I love what you were saying at the end about the ups and the downs, because one of my best friends, shout out Sadie.
What's up, Sadie? Parents,
what the fuck's up, Sadie?
Hey, Sadie.
Her parents are both actors, and I think that was something that she really like came to terms with before I even realized. Like, I'm looking at her, I'm like, oh, your parents are so successful. Like, your dad is on Succession, and like your mom is a famous Broadway actor, and in all these amazing movies and whatever. And she's like, yeah, but they'll go for like a year plus without
that work. Ever working.
She's like, it doesn't matter how big you are. Like, that's kind of the nature of the beast. Like,
you're always sure your last job will be your last forever.
Always. Exactly.
Oh my God. I know, my dad says every time I like said to him recently, I was like, what if I never get a job again? He goes,
you might.
I don't think I'll ever get a job again.
Like, you know? You're like, Dad, I'm reading for Grays with you. Yeah. Shut up.
No, I mean, literally, it's like, there's no shortcuts. Mm-hmm. There's no rhyme or reason. And I think that it's, we just got to keep showing up and hoping that, you know, we're going to just be right enough for the next thing. And, you never know where that's going to come from or how it's going to come to you. And you never know what it's going to look like. So you kind of just have to keep
doing it,
keep learning your lines and being nice busy, and
doing
you know, showing and up on time. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Before we get into quarter life qualms, I do want to quickly just hear a little bit about your character for Gossip Girl, since we can all be looking forward to it coming out.
So she came in a little bit at the end of last season.
Really?
Yeah, she came in.
Guys, I haven't watched.
You gotta catch up. You gotta. It's just such a fun show. And so I play Obi's big sister, Eli Brown's big sister. And I don't want to give anything away.
Do we have like a trans? You don't have to. Do we have? This is so lame of me. I sound so millennial right now. Sorry, Gen Z listeners. But do we have like a translation for who Obi is compared to round one of Gossip Girl?
It's all so different.
It's totally
all
different.
So different. I'm talking about Eli now. He's just the greatest person in the world. And but yeah, every character is so different. It's such a different show. So you really just have to watch it. It's such a fun show. I mean, amazing. Before I was on it, I was such a fan, and I was so lucky that they let me be a part of their cool kid group.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm like grandma over here, but
I was about to say, it's this really funny thing. Like, we had this girl on Ren recently, and I was joking to Nina. Nina's a young little thing. She's not that much younger, and she is wiser than I am, seriously. But I was joking to Nina. We had this girl Ren on who she's friends with, and she's in comedy and she's a model. And you know how when you're younger, you get like girl crushes on older girls
totally.
Who you think are so cool?
Totally.
We're at the age, or at least I am, where like I'm starting to get girl crushes on like young, cool girls where I'm like, I want to be like you. Like, you know what's cool. Like,
these kids.
These kids these days.
They keep me young. No, I mean, like Whitney Peake has become a dear friend of mine, and she plays Zoya on the show, and she is, I actually don't think I've ever met someone cooler. Like,
it's wild how
genuinely
cool they are.
She's just one of the, and she's so kind and so professional and
yeah,
such a hard worker that it's just like, Everyone on that show is truly.
I was gonna say, I see like the cast pictures and I'm like,
no, everyone is a gem.
This is the coolest looking.
Yeah, they seem really
Emily,
cool.
I got to know like, recently, and she is just like kind and wonderful. And yeah. Savannah and Zion and Thomas and Eli and Evan, like every single one of them are just like kind of lovely and good hearted and talented and hardworking.
Yeah. Also, spoiler, guys, but we are going to have another cast member on from it. So Nina and I really have to do our homework. At
yeah,
this
you guys
point.
Have to watch. To
yeah, maybe we'll watch before we do the intro for this, so we can like be like, "This oh, is yeah, what it's about." Yeah. What the fuck is up? Anyways, is but yeah, thank you so much. This is like awesome.
This is awesome.
We've gotten
I've,
into
I've,
so
I've,
much.
I'm
stuff.
Like growing wiser during this.
I know.
Oh, wow.
Me too.
Thank no, you. Seriously. I'm like, I'm could frame half the things you've said so
oh
far.
Oh my god.
Like, right. I know. Like I'm like, should I get inspirational quotes from Catherine?
I just
yes.
I read we'll a lot of self help books.
Yeah. No, we love it.
We'll just have you do like audio notes to us every once in a while.
Done.
Yeah. Just that like if we're feeling down.
Perfect.
No, that's so real. And it's funny, for a little more background, you were, well, we were both on, but I yes. didn't make the cut in time for that episode, yeah. but on Owen Thiel's podcast.
Yes.
And, you know, just to Nina's yeah, yeah. point, how she was talking about how, like, lovely you are to speak to and how just the way you speak is, like, I don't know, it's just lovely oh. to listen to and
oh,
calming.
Oh my god, yes. thank you.
And that's very much how I felt. Like I had already I was aware of you via seeing Jagged Little Pill yeah. And you.
Thank you.
But hearing you on the podcast, I was like, "Oh my god, she's just like waxing poetic oh. and like I love it."
My gosh, thank you. Thank you.
We're here to lift our
we're
guests
here to be
up.
Your hype.
We are your
hell
hype
yeah.
woman.
I love it.
But do you want to,
yeah.
I think we're going to move into quarter life qualms. So
let's do it.
For any new listeners and for you, this is all about being in your 20s and figuring out what the fuck you're doing in life. So
Amen.
Here we explore it.
Here we
do it.
Here we doth explore.
Okay. So, all right. The first question is, what is something you've gone through in your 20s or otherwise that has shaped how you see the world?
Oh, man.
Just starting light.
It doesn't have Oof. To be super deep if you don't want it to be.
Oh, what isn't deep in your 20s? I think that's kind of the beauty of your 20s is
right.
like you're kind of feeling everything for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're figuring out like how to exist in the world sort of as an island. And, you know, for me, I think 2019, I'll just say that was the year that sort of shaped me. It was the year we opened Jagged Little Pill on Broadway. It was the year I got out of a very... I hesitate to, well, I, it's, yeah,
Toxic.
Choosing my words. Yeah, the big A word gets thrown around a lot,
oh,
but
wow,
it, and
yeah.
but it was quite an abusive relationship and very toxic and really painful. And I got out of that 2 weeks before we started rehearsal for Jagged Little Pill on Broadway,
wow,
where
rough.
I was playing a survivor of sexual assault. While getting sexually assaulted on stage 8 times a week, and it was a real lesson. And
jeez,
oh my
Thank
lord,
God,
tested my strength.
Yeah, yeah, we got.
Well, it was this thing where you know I left that relationship because I knew that I couldn't be in it and survive what I was about to do, and I knew I had worked every single day of my life to be able to. Get to the point where I could originate a role on Broadway, and this show was something that I cared about so deeply.
Yeah.
And so I really, it was a lesson in really choosing myself,
mm-hmm.
Which is something that I had not been doing for the previous year. And I think that year and the choices I made in that year and the way I had to, it was sort of like in tarot, there's the tarot card called mm-hmm. the Tower. And I'm a big tarot fan.
I love
I
it.
I read. We like had a full moon party the
oh,
other
no.
night after work, and
we
most
also,
of the cast. Yeah.
Oh no, tell us. But we have the best. We have a great question for you in our game.
Oh yeah.
I'm excited to hear your answer yeah. too. Let's
oh,
just
good.
Say it. Continue.
But yeah, we had a bunch of people over, and I read like everyone in the Gossip Girl cast tarot cards. So I'm like a big fan of tarot cards. But anyway,
they're
so
fun.
There's a tarot card called the Tower, and it's sort of just like everything falls down. And that is challenging and it's painful, but it's the only way sometimes that you can rebuild. And 2019 for me was my big tower card year. It was the year I turned 26. It was just everything was hard and everything was painful, and I didn't want to, I had no choice but to keep going. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time in my life that I had to, I learned a lot about people. I grew up with amazing parents. I'm still friends with my high school best friends, and I very fortunately had not, I learned a lot about sort of the intensities in which a person can and will hurt you, you know? Mm-hmm. And
it's a fucking shit lesson, especially when, like, I don't know what's a, like, kosher way to say this, yeah, but when you're, like, a genuinely good person and totally, you kind of have that first one or two times where you see that, like, not all people operate the same way, yeah, and especially on a romantic level, like, yeah, I've had my, whatever, I've already said it on the podcast, but, like, one of my most toxic relationships was also my longest relationship.
Oh man, I'm so
and
sorry.
it's just crazy because I think at first there's a like a layer of like, I just don't think this person who I love would be able to like approach things that way because, yeah, it seems so inconceivable, mm-hmm, to you as someone who just wouldn't act that way, you know?
Yeah, and I, yeah, I think, so you know, you sucks, get to the point where you sort of, I guess my biggest takeaway from this time, and it's something, yeah, that I've continued to learn, is that you are the only person who can, A, know what you need, who can give you what you need. You're the only person who can ask for help. You're like, you have to show up for yourself, mm, because no one else is going to. Mm-hmm. And I had friends who were begging me to, and my family was begging me to show up for myself and to take care of myself. And it wasn't until I was able to leave that relationship and that I really looked at, I said that my biggest dream in my life is happening right now. Mm-hmm. And I need to make myself my own priority.
Yeah.
And it was hard, and I had to lean on people in a way I'd never leaned on people. You know, a huge shout out to Derek Klena and Lauren Patton and my cast of Jagged Little Pill. Every day it was like, I look back on 2019, I'm like, I don't actually sort of really know how I did it.
Yeah.
It was such a hard year. But yeah, I think I think sometimes your whole world has to fall apart in order for you to rebuild it in a way that fits the life you're living now. And mm-hmm, that was sort of my biggest lesson. And it's that lesson has continued to show up and evolve and into my everyday life now.
Yeah. Wow. That kind of made me emotional. Yeah. Like, that was my God. So good. I feel like you need to like write an autobiography and then also have like an audiobook.
I was literally about to say, but you have to do the audiobook.
Yeah, you have to do the audiobook. Like, oh my God. Okay. That was so moving. Wow. Thank you for sharing that. And I'm so, that, you know, that just adds like a whole other layer of how wonderful that show was for you in a way that it like gave you the perspective to see you had to like pull yourself out of this.
Yeah. I was playing a character who had to show up for herself and who had to heal, and you know, that was also a thing that I went through when I was 21, and so it was very personal to me on that level. And I think, you know, there were a lot of parts of that show that really helped me show up for myself as well, and I think Bella and I really went through it together, and I'm very grateful to have had that very painful catharsis.
Yeah. Tower card, man. Tower card.
What's that they say, like, the knife hurts just as much coming out as it does going in.
Ooh.
You know, healing can
I've never heard that, but
I think it's a saying. That's intense. Or it's something I just said to someone the other day.
No, we're
but it
we're
is.
Printing that one out too, don't worry.
But it does. The healing can hurt just as much as the injury.
Oh, absolutely.
Know? So
absolutely. Wow, that's very powerful stuff. Kind of coming off of that, since you were talking about dating, what is, or in what ways has your approach to dating kind of changed or evolved throughout your 20s so far? I knew you'd like this one from Owen's podcast.
Yeah. Woo! So, great question, dating.
You're like, what is dating?
What is dating? I think when I was younger, I had this very fantastical idea of someone who would throw pebbles at my window and, you know, who would... it was like all based on sort of movies I'd seen and the idea of love looked a lot like Grand Gestures and yeah. and Whirlwinds and then I got that, and then it turned into the worst experience of my life, you know?
That's the fucked up thing that people don't realize. Like, obviously there's that small percentage of people who are super lucky and they get both that and the stability, but a lot of the time the romantic whirlwinds are also the most toxic.
Like, yeah, it's also, it can be called love bombing.
Love bombing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was about to say, it's literally love bombing. Yeah. It's also like generally traits of a narcissist. Yep, like, yep, like truly to the scientific degree.
Yeah. It's like they all read a book.
So there's actually a book I read where it says that psychiatrists and sort of have this joke among them.
Yeah.
I love the idea of a like bunch they of therapists know what getting
they
around
did.
Like,
yeah. They know what they did next. Yeah.
But you know that narcissists must read a guidebook because truly. Every single thing they do is it's so like textbook.
So, yeah.
You know, like, love bombing, disvaluing, devaluing and discarding. Yeah, yeah.
Or like idealizing and then villainizing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Just like,
So it's, but yeah, I think that, you know, my approach to dating now, what I look for has really changed. And I think the biggest thing is knowing that, like, I don't need anybody. I'm very, very happy by myself. Mm-hmm. I live a very wonderful life. I have amazing friends. I have a wonderful dog. And I think
what
that
kind of dog?
He's a little mutt. He's mine like 30 pound little. He's black with like a little tuxedo stripe. His Shut name's up. Willie Nelson. He's very cute.
Wait, is it white?
Yeah.
Our dogs might be twins.
Really?
I'm excited.
I We're love gonna this. We'll share photos.
Yeah.
Photos.
If this ends up being in the promo, like, I'm very excited. Just side by side.
Willie is a very beautiful, very handsome little devil. But you know, I think like for me, if someone isn't helping me grow or isn't adding, my best friend Steph always says, Stephanie Siles, who's on Loot. Everyone watch Loot right now. Ooh. We gotta throw in. We gotta be our friend's PR. You know,
we have to.
She always says, like, is this person plussing your life, or is this situation plussing your life? And I love that term because it really is like, I think we sort of sometimes can feel like society can make us feel like, what's wrong with me? I'm not dating someone. Yeah. It's the first thing anyone asks. Who are you dating? What do you? Yeah. And it's like, hey, look, my favorite thing to do, and I tell people to do this all the time, especially people who are having a hard time with dating, I will take myself to a nice restaurant or, you know, wherever, my favorite place. I'll turn my phone off. I'll read a book, and I'll do all the things that would happen on a date. You know, if that's order a glass of wine, if that's a salad and an entree, like whatever it is. And I'm going to shut my phone off, and I'm going to. Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna fall in love with myself, with my life, with my experience, and
romanticize your fucking life, y'all.
Yeah, and I think also just like you have to know what you're bringing to the table, because if you don't know what you're worth, if you don't know, and I don't mean that to say like, you know, we're all gonna be insecure, and that's part of it. Being able to be in a relationship, part of that is showing up and being like, hey, here's the thing I'm insecure about, and I'm working through it. Are you going to help me with that? Yeah. You know, no one's perfect, but there might be someone who's perfect for you, you know, who can help you work through those parts of yourself that feel ugly and unlovable and complicated, because everyone has those.
Absolutely.
And so I think the biggest shift in my life is A, really being careful with the people I choose and not falling for, you know, get love quick schemes and all that, you know, and really constantly checking in with myself about like, hey, is this making me feel good still? Mm-hmm. Is this something that's still, or is this something that I feel like am I shape-shifting into who I've decided this person wants me to be?
Yeah.
You know, making sure to not cut yourself in half to make yourself palatable for someone else is really big.
Yeah, that's really good advice, especially for all listeners, but I think when you're younger and dating, like, no one thinks they're going to be the girl who's like in that relationship, and you'd be surprised, because it's a long game, you know.
Yeah,
like it doesn't just start out being manipulative; it grows to be. So, I think that checking in and staying aware is like super, super valuable.
Yeah,
for people listening. Yeah,
absolutely.
Catherine and I will go through our list of places to do our dates with ourselves.
Yes.
Because I love doing the same thing. So
it's
I'm
the
like,
best.
We'll compile something together.
Yeah, we should. That would be fun.
Best
That'd
places
be really
to
fun.
Go on a date by yourself because
it's
I've got
so
a
important.
Long list.
We should
it's
add
so
it
important.
To well traveled.
Yeah, I know. Honestly, yeah, we will. Yeah. No, I'm telling you.
That
I've
is
got some good places.
Yes. Code WTF sup. Please use it. Anyways, do you want to do the last Squirrel Life Guam question?
Yeah. I was going to say, do you want to do this or do you want to jump in the game?
Let's do this one and then we'll do the game.
Okay, perfect.
Do the game.
So the last question is, what is something you do when you find yourself struggling or going through a difficult period to recenter?
It's a long list. Meditation is really big for me. Mm. That's been a thing that has been really helpful. I have really good friends and I call them and I talk to them and I'm pretty much always in contact. There's not a single day that happens where I'm not in at least one great conversation with someone I love. Whether that's my mom, my dad, my brother, my best friends, you know, that's really important to me and I'm very lucky to have friends that, you know, we all really show up for each other and that's really beautiful. Yeah. But I think more if I'm really going through it, I have to spend time by myself. And that's a thing I didn't learn until later in my life. I'm someone, when I'm really needing to process something, it has to happen alone. Mm-hmm. I take myself on trips a lot.
I love that.
Yeah. I was going through a hard time in March of this last year. And I took myself to Cambria, which is a beautiful sort of northern town and in California. I rented a car and found this little hotel and there's no cell service and I went horseback riding and I went on long walks and it's right on the water and I would take myself to this restaurant called the Sea Chest. It's like cash only. It's amazing. And I
love this.
Oh God.
This is so whimsical.
And my first night there, I didn't even bring my phone. I just had a notepad and a pen. And I sat at the bar and I ended up sitting next to this guy. His name is Bob. And he made a joke about how like sort of average his name was too. And I was like, it is like
a perfect
name. Yeah.
Perfect
for this. I was like, that's my dude. And he was maybe in his 80s. And we sat down and we just sort of got in a conversation. It turns out it was the first time he had been there to that restaurant since his wife had passed. And they'd been going to that restaurant for 40 years together. And he was so scared about going there alone because he didn't know who he'd have to talk to. And we ended up talking our entire meal. He was the loveliest guy. I learned all about him. He told me a story about how he saw Janis Joplin. I heard her on the radio back in the 60s. They were both living in San Francisco. She wasn't big yet at all, but he loved her voice. So he found her in the phone book and called her.
Oh my God.
And what a legend.
I know. And they talked on the phone and she invited him over, but he couldn't go. And then she became Janis Joplin. Like, and Janis Joplin is my hero.
Oh my
and
God. Yeah, she's
it was just,
fucking.
Yeah, we talked about everything. We talked about his wife and the things he loved about her. And we had just the most magical conversation that like I truly never would have had if I was in LA or New York or a city I lived in. And we never would have had if I was on my phone.
Yeah.
And the next 2 days later, I went horseback riding at this place. I'd been pretty much every day that I was there. And the woman behind me was an entertainment lawyer from LA. And she ended up taking me out with her husband that night to the same restaurant. And her husband found Pearl Jam and all these amazing, like,
oh
discovered
God.
Them. And I was like, the things that happen when we're not so invested
caught
in,
up. Yeah.
You know, it's like, we have our whole lives on our phones. And I think it feels like if we're not connected to it, we're going to lose track of our life. But in these moments, and I'm certainly guilty of being on my phone too much. It's not like I've taken this lesson to my everyday life. But trust me, I'm a piece of shit too. But like, you know, but it was this weekend that really I learned how much I could learn about myself when I sort of took myself out of so much of being on our phones has us so aware of how we're being perceived and how we're existing in our own little ecosystems and to sort of be apart from that and be a place where I didn't know anybody. I really felt anonymous and I really felt like I could just be a person who was curious about other people and curious about the world. Like I learned so much. I like, and I think that if you're someone who's going through a shit time, like go be anonymous somewhere. and find out the things that like feed you, not the things that feed your following or feed your, you know, ecosystem or whatever, but the things that like genuinely get you excited that you don't necessarily know how they're going to grow your business. Like it's just find the things that make you feel like a little kid again.
You know,
the inner child light up. That's the special special stuff.
No, I love that. I think that's such a good point too, of just like, it doesn't have to be going somewhere where the Instagram story will look good. It's like going somewhere for you. Like I feel like that's such a good point. I just
and get
think,
curious.
Yeah, get curious. I think we've lost that in a way just because we have so much access to everything.
Yeah, of course.
And that's kind of something I like about doing the podcast too, is you just get to like have this like real long form conversation, no phones, no like distractions, in a way that's like
totally,
you don't get to do that much anymore, which is insane. All right, this has been so fun. We are
so
going
fun.
To finish up with a game of 7T questions.
Okay.
So it's TEA, like what's the tea?
Love it.
Yeah. So I'm just going to start getting
some
into
rapid
it.
Quick fire.
It's rapid fire.
Great.
I'm so bad at keeping it rapid fire. Okay. But we'll try. First question. Okay. What is the current tea in your life?
I can't tell you.
This is the first time we've gotten that. Oh my god! Can we get a hint?
Can we get a category?
Oh my god! Let's get a category.
I'm blushing. That's the category.
Oh.
Oh, Miss independent,
miss,
but
I don't need to date.
I don't need no man. Look, I don't need no person.
That's what happens when you're living your life.
When you're not looking for something, that's when it pops up.
That's exactly.
Well, we might have to ask you about it after, but that really helped us keep it rapid fire. So I love that.
Yeah, I love that. Okay. Who is your celebrity crush, either historically or currently?
Great question.
She's like, I'm dating
him. Legolas.
Not trying to brag, but that's kind of how I look when my hair's up in that way.
Whoa.
No, I'm kidding. But I love that. Orlando Bloom back in the day.
I kept a photo of Legolas in my pocket in fourth grade. So
incredible. I did the same thing with Joe Jonas.
I mean, shout out hell yeah.
Like, we've all been there.
Manifesting, you know?
I love that.
Yeah.
Early manifestations.
To be clear, not Orlando Bloom, Legolas.
Yeah. No, very
There's
different.
A very big difference.
Absolutely different. Okay. Fuck, marry, kill, Dear Evan Hansen, Rent, and Hamilton. We
you
really,
guys, she really
we
is
had
too
to pick.
To speak.
We were like,
I'm
we
so mad at you guys.
We really had to pick two. We were like, we feel like she'll be into these ones, and we were thinking about more classic ones, but then we were like, no, we need to make it fit.
Okay,
like,
Ben Platt was my first kiss, so I'm gonna marry him.
Fuck off.
I'm going to marry him. I mean, it was in Hairspray when we were 14, but still.
Same.
It still counts. So I'm going to marry Dear Evan Hansen because we have history, and I think we'd actually, I think if Ben and I were to marry, we'd do pretty well.
I love
and
that.
And I think Noah would be okay with that. I think we'll all get married. this is my proposal. I would fuck Rent because...
Runs hot.
That's a good
come on. I'm so sorry to Hamilton. I'm so sorry to Hamilton.
It's okay.
You know
it.
That someone will marry Hamilton.
Yes.
Someone
Hamilton's gonna be okay.
Hamilton's gonna be okay, and I just Rent.
It made me
who I am.
Yeah.
You know,
Hamilton's technically dead anyway. So like, you know, like we're going on the basis of the main characters here.
Exactly.
So I think you handled that with grace.
Thank you. I'm sweating.
Are you glad? We were gonna potentially just do a bunch of those, and I think it's good we did it.
Yeah, that was really hard.
I'm actually sweating.
Amazing. Okay. What is the first song you'd have on the soundtrack of your life?
Sweating again.
Yes. I'm sweating again.
And it can be one of your originals. Shout out.
Shout out.
That's really tough. That's really tough. You know, I just made a playlist of the top 25 most influential songs of my life.
I would like to see that.
I'll show it to you. Yeah.
Nice.
I'll show it to you. It's a really good playlist. Not to brag. but I would say,
go. No. First one, not the only one.
Just one song.
Sunday from Sunday in the Park with George.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I love that.
Yeah.
Damn. I got to work on the soundtrack. Yeah, I'm like, I would not have come up with
that's,
that.
That one actually isn't even on that playlist.
Send us the soundtracks to your lives.
Yes. Yeah. No, it's really good to think about. There was a limit of 25. Wow. It's really good to do.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. Huge.
Like the Jonas Brothers. Yeah.
Okay. Our next question, which is one of our favorites, just me and Nina, is what is the smallest hill that you're willing to die on?
Love this. Okay. Okay. This is so hard. I'm so stubborn. I'll die on any hill. oh God.
Don't worry. There is editing. So
great. This is not rapid fire.
Take as long as you need.
Take your sweet time.
We will make it seem like you just had.
You just knew.
Okay, great. Okay, great. I
love your tattoos.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Really cool. Really cool.
Oh, that Pedialyte is the greatest drink that one can imbibe.
And just to clarify, is this without a hangover?
Yes. Yes.
It honestly is really delicious.
I am such a Pedialyte stan.
What's your favorite flavor?
Well, it's tough because are we talking about the packets or are we talking about the bottles? The bottles, I like the blue one when it's ice cold, but you have to get the fanciest one, like the one with a plus that has extra stuff. Oh, yeah. Okay. It started for me on two show days. I would always have a bottle of Pedialyte. Mm. And now, I have those immunity ones like every day. Like I'm like a Pedialyte
fiend. That's honestly great. It's especially really good in this New York City heat. Like,
yeah, you're really Pedialyte good. Sponsor, like, do they let you do ads yet? Because
no,
you should.
They responded once to an Instagram story of mine, and I was like hoping I'd get some free Pedialyte, but I have not received free Pedialyte. This is like the least sponsored thing, and I will die on this hill. Eli Brown and I actually—he gave me so much shit for it,
and
I
now he's on it.
It was the first time I've actually had to die on this hill. Was in my argument with him about it. He probably won't even remember, but it was important to me.
it kept you up.
Still keeps me up. But Derek would buy me Pedialyte just to be a good pal. Like, it's important. Everyone in my life knows about the Pedialyte.
That's an amazing
hill. That's a great hill.
I love that.
Thank you.
Like, honestly, iconic.
Thank you.
The hills are so fun.
I know. It's like literally one of our favorite questions.
It's a great one.
What is your favorite woo-woo practice or activity?
And this is what we were referencing earlier. Yep.
I mean, I own a crystal store, so I gotta say, I own a crystal company called Vibes. I do.
Want to work with us?
100%.
Yes.
I don't even know what that
we
means.
We manifested this somehow.
But,
is probably like Googling right now.
Her mom does readings.
Stop.
Yeah. She's the dopest person. Fucking great.
Oh my God,
yeah.
I love this. Yeah, I'm a practicing witch. Like I read tarot cards. I have crystals. I have an altar at my house. I like, please. Like, I love it. Just, I am woo woo.
You're like, I don't need to name one.
I'm like, yeah.
I am my favorite woo
woo. But it's interesting too, because I have this real aversion to like the phrase love and light. Like I everyone who's taught me has been someone who, I think that there's, when you approach, it's like the oldest. This is the oldest practice.
Totally.
You know, it's like it has its roots pre-modern religion, all of these things. And so I think it's really important when you do talk about it. It's like, you know,
make
the universe isn't talking to you. Like, like we have to it's all about realism. My favorite thing that I heard about witchcraft was, you know, a lot of times in religion, you're searching for power outside yourself. And in witchcraft, you're seeking within.
Ooh.
And I think that sort of has been my guiding light. I feel very I'm very sort of allergic to all things like woo woo, I guess. And as I say that, I'm like, have my tarot cards and I have my crystals. So I understand the irony of that. But yeah,
I get it. You want to be careful with how the subject matter is handled because you want it to be as well received as humanly possible.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we all have to take responsibility for the fact that we're just people living on earth and trying to
do our best.
And if these tools are helpful to you, then that's fucking awesome.
I totally agree. I'm so on the same page. And this isn't part of the 70 questions,
great,
but I do want to follow up and ask, because you mentioned that you guys had a reading at U. How has that been unfolding?
I don't remember anything that they said, but they...
You're like, I was overwhelmed to be on set.
Yeah. I mean, they're always right. And Dakota is someone who has continued to give me readings throughout my life, and they've become a very good friend of mine. So Catland Books in Brooklyn is like an amazing store if you ever need anything metaphysical. They're truly, truly the best. And they just gave me a reading the other day, actually. So
I'm
And everything they said was like super spot on. So I don't know.
I love it. I love a good reading. Oh, love a good woo-woo. Am I next? I forgot.
Do that one as the last.
Oh yeah, because we've kind of done the perfect. Good thinking. She's got a good head on her. This
very
one.
Very wise.
That physics major. Okay.
Oh damn, you're smart.
Stop bragging. Damn.
And so now I tell jokes on stage.
There you go. There you go.
And so for the final of the 70 questions. Yeah. What is something that our listeners or people following you would otherwise not know about you?
I mean, I can't keep my mouth shut, so I feel like everyone knows everything about me.
We do
that I'm
an
introvert. That I like, I literally dead ass. Everyone. Like,
we were learning about this recently.
Yeah.
Now I'm not sure what I am.
I can't do more than one social activity a week.
Oh, wow. A week?
Pretty much. And I have for work sometimes. Yeah. But. And work is very social, but yeah, I need recovery time.
Like, I need
to be alone for most of my life. Like,
you do love your you time.
I'm like, man, there's nothing better for me than like a night by myself.
I love
ordering
that
in, like with my dog, going on a long walk. I fucking
love a long walk.
You know,
you did
walk the
here.
Length of the city, as Lynn so poetically stated for the first time. Isn't that as you say, is that Hamilton?
I think so. Probably.
I think so.
It feels like it.
Yeah.
The energy you gave behind that.
Thank you.
It's Hamilton.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm serving Hamilton, even though I just said I'd kill him.
She's like, I'm trying to save myself.
What does that say about me? Yeah. God, masochistic. But alas.
Oh my gosh, I'm dead. Well, Catherine, thank you so much. This has been such a great interview. I've had so much fun. I'm so honored that you were able to come on and make it work.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah,
I'm feeling so like light and inspired. Yeah. And
I know. I feel cleansed.
Truly.
Truly, yeah.
I was like,
she was in a mood.
I was a ball of anxiety like 2 hours
oh,
ago.
Oh no. So. Well, I'm glad you're not now.
Yeah. Just unraveled. Yeah. I hope all of the listeners unraveled with me.
Yes. Sometimes we gotta unravel, you know?
Yeah. In the best way.
In the best. Yeah. In a good
Even in
a
the
good
worst.
Unraveling.
In the worst way.
Even
too.
In the worst. You can still pick it back up.
Yeah. You really can. Do you wanna let everyone know where they can find you, follow you, buy your crystals? All the
yes,
things.
I'm on all of the internets. I'm on Instagram.
You're like, I take breaks, but I'm still there.
Yes, I'm there. Catherine Gallagher on Instagram. I forget what my TikTok handle is, but if you search my name, you'll find it.
We'll also put this all in the show notes.
Amazing.
So, yeah.
My crystal company is called Vibes. It's vibes.store is how you find it. We have all these little crystal pouches, so it's very accessible if you don't know anything about crystals. So that's really nice. Yeah.
Love.
It's very, very much designed for people who feel very overwhelmed by
crystals.
Because I'm someone who feels very overwhelmed by crystals.
Dad. This is where you get mom's presents.
There you go. It's true. We have great presents. Very good. But yeah, thank you guys for having me. This was such a delight, and you're so lovely. Thank you.
You're so sweet.
You've been amazing.
And then always feels weird doing this at the end. As always, follow me.
Follow, like, subscribe.
Follow, rate, review, subscribe. Tell a friend.
Subscribe my OnlyFans.
OnlyFans. Yes. I
no shame.
Yep.
That would be
someday.
No shame.
Someday. Maybe.
No shame.
Watch out. Yeah, but literally your dad's like, I am tuning out.
Yeah. Hi dad.
Follow me at CKNY1213 and the podcast at WTF Sup.
And then you can
pod?
I don't sup pod, yeah.
Oh my God! I forgot our handle.
It's a Monday that we're recording.
It's a Monday,
ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, we're not gonna say what else I forgot because we cut that. Yeah,
that's true. Very good. Yeah. Very good. It was my name. No, can you imagine?
That would be so bad.
I show up and you're like,
yikes!
Ooh.
What is it again?
Could you? Is this?
Yeah, that's tough.
No. We got the name. Thank you.
Yes.
So you can follow me. I don't actually have an OnlyFans yet.
Yeah. Never say
I'm
never.
Sticking to jokes for now, but you can follow me at Nina Barnett on Instagram and at Needs Barnett on TikTok. still got a small following, but it's mighty.
It's niche AF.
Look, that's...
Oh, yeah. Follow me on TikTok, too. Same handle.
Love it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Bye, guys.
Bye.